From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's the time of year again when fall and winter respiratory disease season in the United States makes its annual comeback. When publishing its outlook on what to expect, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said they expected a typical season, that is, numbers of peak hospitalizations due to the flu, RSV, and COVID, would be about the same as they always are. Though it's perhaps worth noting they had a 20% margin of error and a confidence level of low to moderate. That was back in August. Now we know the flu in particular has been prevalent this year, and that's because of a mutated strain known as subclade K. Today we're going to talk about what causes a more severe year for respiratory diseases and how we can keep ourselves safe. Joining us now to talk more about this is Dr. Artie Barnes, Chief Medical Officer at the Illinois Department of Public Health. Dr. Barnes, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you. Glad to be here and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Listeners, if you have questions about flu, RSV, COVID, respiratory diseases, or vaccines in general, 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. All right, Dr. Barnes, Illinois is currently at moderate levels of hospitalizations for flu, RSV, and COVID, though flu itself is considered a high level. What does all that mean?
So what it means is that we try to look at the burden of all these infections on the people of Illinois, how many people are ending up in the emergency rooms, getting admitted to the hospitals. And that drives how we determine we're seeing a low, medium, or high level of activity. We also look at the amount of virus activity in the wastewater to guide us in terms of how much we are able to predict or see regarding specifically the big three viruses, COVID, flu, and RSV.
I was looking at the dashboard that the department has, and the numbers don't quite add up in terms of hospitalizations are broken out with acute respiratory illness that's separated from flu, RSV, and COVID. What's the difference between those? How do they all interrelate?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm glad you asked it because we want to make sure people understand what they're seeing on our dashboard. So in the past year, CDC, as well as several of our states, including Illinois, have moved towards really speaking about acute respiratory illness in general, not just one infection or another, but all the infections specifically during this fall respiratory season that drive us to get sick and end up in the hospital. And so what we try to capture through the ARI or acute respiratory illness metric or measure that you see is a catch-all. It's not just flu, not just COVID, not just RSV, not just say any other respiratory viruses that may be driving the disease burden in the communities. And so the ARI, acute respiratory illness, basically represents a catch-all, which is why it will always be higher than the individual infections that we've listed below that. And among those right now, flu is still the greatest driver of all the disease burden that we're seeing in our Illinois communities.
Do you think we've seen the spike? And I know it's impossible to predict the future, but I mean, what's your best understanding of the data as we've seen it so far? Have we seen the spike or could this still come?
So. Yeah. I hope so. We have started seeing flu decline in places that had already peaked earlier, especially in southern states. In Illinois, we're starting to see the first perhaps sign that it may be trending down. However, it's too early to call it. Sometimes just one point, one little blip down doesn't really mean it's a significant trend or move towards less disease or less activity of this virus. So hopefully the next week will really reveal whether we have overcome this first really significant peak of the flu season. However, just to keep people aware, we often see a second small bump in flu towards the end of the flu season, maybe around February or March, and that's usually driven by flu B. What we see initially in the early part is driven by flu A.
I mentioned the, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, correct me if I am mistaken, but subclade K, there was this mutation apparently this year in the flu strain. What is it more severe than usual? What's behind that? What's happening there?
Yeah, and so the good news is it's not more severe. The bad news is that it is very transmissible. That means it's spreading very fast. And the vaccine does work. I think there's a lot of confusion about whether the vaccine is still effective. So we have thankfully received some early data from the UK where this vaccine has been used and they went through their respiratory season earlier. And so it is about 30, 40% effective in adults, but up to 70% are so effective in children. And children are the most vulnerable. We've already experienced children dying of flu in Illinois this season, as well as nationally. And I think it's really important that our communities know that the vaccine works, especially specifically works really well for children. Now, there are mutations in the subclade K that aren't all covered with the vaccine, but just because the vaccine doesn't 100% cover the seven or eight mutations, or we call them amino acid differences, that doesn't yet mean that the whole vaccine as itself does not work to protect you from severe illness. And I think that's an important reminder. The vaccine is not trying to protect you from not getting the infection at all. It's protecting you from getting severely ill, ending up in the hospital, or worse, if you do get the flu. And that is a very important message that I hope our communities take to heart and understand that the vaccine still gives you protection from severe illness.
So your message there, it's definitely not too late to get the vaccine. One other thing I wanted to ask you about is this idea of antivirals like Tamiflu. I'm surprised by how many people still don't really seem to be aware of that this is an option. Can you remind us how that works and how, what are some of the limitations of it and, how you go about getting that?
Yeah, so the good news is Tamiflu or oseltamivir, Tamiflu is the brand name. There is a generic version of this available. So by no means am I suggesting any specific brand over the other, but oseltamivir is an antiviral, among others, that is effective against the current strain, including the subclade K. And these antivirals need to be taken very quickly after you start developing symptoms. It's most effective if you can get the first dose in within 48 hours of starting to get sick. And that is why it's important for people to not just sit on their illness if they're feeling sick, have fever, sore throat, but to really try to get tested as soon as possible. And if they've identified flu as opposed to COVID or any other infection, then to really consider getting on Tamiflu. But that 48-hour mark is when the antiviral works the best. And we have been really grateful that we have seen a lot of Tamiflu utilization across the state. We have been reaching out to our large retail pharmacy partners to make sure that they have had enough supply. And we've also been wanting to make sure that our clinician communities are aware of this option. But I'm hoping our communities at large know that if you get severely sick or are at risk for getting severely sick, timing is of great importance. And don't wait to get so sick and then try to take the antiviral. It may still have some effect, but it works best when you get it in as soon as you start getting symptoms, specifically within that first 2 days.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. We're talking about seasonal respiratory illnesses, including flu, COVID, and RSV. The flu, in particular, has proven to be more transmissible than usual. There's a unique strain this year. We're talking about all this and some of the precautions you can take with Dr. Artie Barnes, Chief Medical Officer at the Illinois Department of Public Health, 800-222-9455, to join us. Let's talk now about COVID and the vaccine. Is this something that people should still be getting every year as the recommendations are for the flu vaccine?
We certainly believe so in Illinois because we do see people dying from COVID pretty frequently. And this is not just a common cold as yet. People still end up in the hospital with it, and unfortunately, even worse. And people also need to be aware that there is something called long COVID syndrome or post-COVID syndrome, where you can have lingering after effects of COVID itself. And the good news is that vaccination actually protects you from the impacts of long COVID. So it's not just thinking about, oh, will I get sick? Will I just be have a little cold? Will it be mild for me? But what could be the after effects of it? So we still believe that that's an important way of protecting yourself and your future from some of the impacts of COVID. In Illinois, we've specifically also called out the need for young children under the age of 2, to get their COVID vaccine. And this is in line with some of the national organizations, such as the American Association of Pediatrics, the American Association of Family Practice. We do want to make sure that people are aware that this group is exquisitely vulnerable to hospitalizations from COVID, and these very young children don't even need to have underlying risk factors to put them at risk for severe disease. And so we still want to make sure very young children under the age of 2 are getting vaccinated for COVID, as well as anyone who has underlying risk factors. And people sometimes underestimate their risk factors for COVID. Even being sedentary, having underlying mental health conditions puts you at increased risk for complications from COVID-19. And so I do hope that people take advantage of the knowledge of understanding where what their underlying risk factors are. Those have not changed. So IDPH on our website, as well as the CDC's website for the underlying risk factors, those criteria have not changed. And I would hope people take the time to get aware of what it is that would put them at risk for COVID and make that educated decision and have that conversation with your clinician, to your healthcare provider, to determine, hey, do I need this vaccine? Am I at risk?
It's interesting you've said some variation of the phrase in Illinois multiple times in talking about that. And of course, the federal government has changed its recommendations to back down for children, adults, not older Americans. But to talk about what that has meant for public health to have the federal government going one way, which of course is led by noted vaccine opponent RFK Jr., and states Illinois and other Democratic-led states going a different way.
Yeah, and it is an important consideration for us in Illinois because we thankfully have our Illinois Immunization Advisory Committee that advises our director on the best approach to take. And we have still made sure that what we recommend is based on core scientific principles, the science of epidemiology, which means the trends of how much disease activity is really occurring. And even sometimes people misunderstand, saying, oh, there's not much activity of this infection, so we don't need the vaccine for it. But the challenge is the vaccine is what's keeping the activity low, and backing off on and using less vaccine can sometimes result in rebound or increased infections that we are hoping to avoid. And so we are hoping that we can continue to base our recommendations for Illinois both on epidemiological evidence or disease burden evidence, as well as clinical evidence on the safety and efficacy of vaccines. And we are really grateful that our Illinois Immunization Advisory Committee has been able to meet and been able to convene and provide very science-based recommendations for what we need to do in Illinois. And that's what we have been endorsing and following, as well as, of course, looking at national organizations that are engaging in a very scientific or science-based approach to their provisions and their recommendations. Now, we don't expect that this will stay static forever. Our recommendations too will change, but when they change, they will be grounded in, again, the science-based approach, whether it is the disease burden or whether it's clinical evidence, again, around safety and efficacy of vaccines.
Just about 30 seconds left, so maybe just a sentence or two on this. Do you suspect, do you have a sense, or is there any data so far that the changing recommendations from the government has increased the disease burden in Illinois or elsewhere?
We have seen lower than expected vaccine uptake for both flu and COVID this season. And it's unclear whether that is a manifestation of what is happening at the federal landscape, but confusion both in the minds and hearts of communities at large, from the mind, from the perspective of clinical providers. But we are seeing lower uptake for flu as well as COVID vaccines this season. I'm hoping that people will understand the real impact of these infections. Seeing children die, seeing their family members sick would be a hope will be a, hopefully a moment of consideration that vaccines are a powerful tool that can
Yes.
protect them.
We're going to
And
have to, I'm afraid we have to leave it there. Dr. Artie Barnes with the Illinois Department of Public Health. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. More to come here on the 21st show. Stay with us.